Welcome everybody. Welcome to the nightly shiur, shiurdrumming.com. Today's shiur, or tonight's shiur for that matter, is dedicated to the Nishmas Chaim Dov Ben Binyamin Zev Polish. Hashem should have an aliyah, and our learning should be a sfas. So Baruch Hashem, right now I'm in the middle of putting up my sukkah. I'm halfway through, and I think I'd like to just pause for a moment and coalesce the theme of Yom Kippur into sukkahs and to derive a message as to why sukkahs is Zaman Simchasenu.
The most beautiful thing about Yontif, Yom Kippur, for example, just to begin with, is the fact that we had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which allowed us to practice Zachar v'Shamar, that the only reason why we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah is because of Shabbos. However, this year, Rosh Hashanah fell out during the week, and so we were able to have 2 days of shofar blowing. Why is that significant? Well, some have provided the opinion that last year, we did not have 2 days of shofar blowing. We only had one because the following day, the second day, was Shabbos. So the essence of the Shemirah is to be Shomer Shabbos. So in order for us to have extra protection, we need to, if we're not going to blow the shofar because of the laws of Shabbos, then on the laws of Shabbos have to be upheld during the entirety of the year to the best of its potential. And now this year that Baruch Hashem we had those 2 days, so we covered our bases, and we have this chusim of the shofar, which we know confuses the satan. So there are several instances during the calendar year where we confuse the satan. Ironically, on Yom Kippur, which is the 365th day of the year, the satan's influence is not present because the word ha-satan, hey, sin, which is the sin is 300 satan. The test and the nun is 359, plus the hey brings us to 364. So there's hasatan is equal to 364. Chazal tell us, the Gemara tells us, that on Yom Kippur, the satan does not have any shlita, does not have any power, and that in itself is a tremendous boon for us because we are able to directly communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are able to pour out our thoughts, our prayers, our supplications on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of our immediate families, and as well as the broader community, and together with Klal Yisrael, having in mind, of course, the Shavuyim, the hostages, and our Chayalim and Chayalot that are on dangerous missions as we speak, and that they should return home safely to their families. And the idea of this is in a sense, we have I just wanted to talk about the days that during the year, right? So we have Halach Ma'anya on Pesach night. We go into Aramaic. Why? Because that is the moment where the Satan apparently is not fluent in Aramaic, but it sounds childish to say that. But the idea is that we are opening up our doors to those that would be unable to find a meal elsewhere. We are bringing people in Halach Ma'anya. So we're bringing people in on Seder night. And that in itself is a tremendous chus for Klal Yisrael. When we blow the shofar blast, the satan gets confused and thinks that Mashiach is coming because this shofar blast has always echoed in the cry of battle. It's a battle cry. It's a cry for tshuva. It's a cry, as we say, the shofar blast has several different elements and connotations associated to it. Number one, we know that in the sense that when a king is coronated, they also blow a ram's horn, as they did in 23 with King Charles, and not to compare Melech Basav Adam, but many of the ancient practices are still being found, even in the royal kingdom. They have a certain rock, which they say that goes back to the time of King David. There's a lot of history there, and it's something really unique and special how the same practices are still conducted there. But we know that the shofar blast itself has this primordial call. It's something that has to come from the heart. It comes from the kishkas. It comes from the insides. You cannot blow a shofar blast by simply looking at it. You have to actually blow into it. And where it's coming from, Baruch Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into us, Ruach Apo Nishmas Chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into our mouths the soul of life, the breath of life. And that breath of life we are using in order to call out for everyone to do tshuva. We know, as we have said last year, and I'll repeat it this year, and the shofar blast, we say on Musaf, we say Kiyata Shamea Kol Shofar Umaz and Trua, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears the sound of the shofar, but he pays close attention to the sound of the Trua blast during this time of year, the one who is a Baal Tshuva. Ve'ein Dom Alach, and there's no comparative to you, Hashem, because the king does not have time to fix his radio and his Rolls Royce. If the radio or the windshield wipers are not working properly, there's a good chance that the king may just say, this is not a car for me. The king needs a car that works on notice, on demand, and there's no waiting for a king. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so different. Hashem is waiting for us the whole year. From the beginning until the very end. And as the Kedusha Levi, the Berditchover, would say, Atem nitzavim hayom kochem, lifnei Hashem lokechem. The word, you are standing here together. Lifnei means before your God. But the word lifnei also could refer to the fact that it is a lashon, a language of panoi, which is a language of to turn. That imagine if you are trying to have a conversation with someone, and their face is not facing yours, how easy or difficult would it be to conduct such a conversation? It would be impossible. Because you're calling to the person's back, and the person refuses to turn around and acknowledge and reciprocate by turning forward to face you face to face. And so therefore, Hashem is looking at us, but many times Hashem is looking at our back. And our challenge is to come face to face. And that's what we do over the beautiful Yontif, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We say that Yom Kippur is not just a day of atonement, a day of judgment, but it is Yom HaKippurim. It is a day comparable to Purim. Not in the sense that we are getting drunk, because we're not. Not in the sense that there's any levity, or that we are inebriated, or that we can't tell the difference between Haman and Mordechai. No. We are drunk with our fascination with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem loves us, and that we know if we prepare ourselves accordingly, the day will come out as a success, and then we will usher in Zman Simchaseinu, which is Sukkos. And that is the reason why it is Yom HaKippurim. It is a happy day, because similar to a person who goes into their kitchen and sees a mess, and then says, I will fix this mess. And then in no time at all, the dishes are cleaned and the utensils are put away neatly in their drawer, and all the pots and pans are washed and scrubbed, and everything is clear, and you can see the countertop once again. The table is clear. You put a nice vase and there's some flowers, and you buy some fruit, and then you start cooking things up and you start the process all over again. But while you're doing so, you're so proud of the fact that your kitchen is clean. You can't operate in a dirty kitchen. You have to operate in a clean one. So the same message is over here. We come into Yontif and we look around and we say to ourselves, there are so many things that we could have done better. And Hashem says, I'm listening to you. Continue. And then you continue to speak and enunciate all the tefillos and all the bakashos and all of the midas harachamim that we have during the Ilah, the closing chapter. Just as the sun is setting, so too are the gates in heaven setting. And we are crying out, we're pouring out. And all of this is making us clean. It's making us feel good. And when we are clean, we feel good. That's the reason why we wear white kittel, white vestments. The ark, the aron is bedecked also in white in order to denote the purity. And in this way, we are greater than angels, because angels have a steadied routine. And they are only able to do what they're commanded to do, and they do it all day long, which is to praise Hashem. We, on the other hand, have bechira chafshas. We have a choice to make. And our choice is to be in shul. And we are unique among all the peoples on this earth. I keep on quoting him, but I'll say it again. The Kedusha Levi says that our Rosh Hashanah is so different than everyone else's. Think about how they celebrate. In Brooklyn, I remember my Italian neighbors would take a ladle and bang the bottom of a soup pot in order to make noise when the new year was ushered in. What's the point of all this except to wake up the whole block? But okay, it's a new year. What's going to be different about this year? Are we going to learn a little bit more? Are we going to grow a little bit more? Are we going to enhance, increase our understanding? Are we going to make more time for learning? What are we going to do? Are we going to be more receptive? Are we going to have a b'saver panim yafos, a happy disposition, so that when we meet people in shul, people in the supermarket, people, you know, going about their day, Are we going to smile at them and greet them warmly? Is that something we've done in the past? Maybe, maybe not. But maybe we can do that even a little bit better. So there's room for the slightest improvement. And that's how we look at the new year. We don't look at the new year as saying, I'm going to lose 5 pounds. Yes, I need to lose 5 pounds. I need to probably lose more than 5 pounds. But the idea is that there are secular goals and they're healthy ones, but they're also religious ones. And that's what makes us unique. When Shabbos and Yom Kippur fall on the same day, we know that on Shabbos, the only thing you can do is to perform Hatzalas Nefashos. That's all you can do. You can save a life if you're on Hatzalah. If you're not on Hatzalah and you see someone who needs help and they can't call for themselves, you make that phone call, you save their life. The people that come afterwards, they're facilitators of your good deed, but you save that life. And so therefore, when you see that there's nothing else to be done on Shabbos except to save a life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hopefully as the Kedushas Levi brings down, will inscribe all of us, each of us, with a year filled with life, a year filled with blessing, a year filled with parnasa, a year filled with nachas, gesund, hatzlacha. And that's the message that we usher in with the culmination of Yom Kippur. Coming back to this phrase that we were saying earlier, Kiyata Shemea Kol Shofar, Hashem hears the sound of the shofar, who is reminiscent or symbolic of the individual who is constantly performing mitzvos all year long. It's all he does. He knows how to do it great. However, during this time of year, Hashem is ma'azin to the true. Hashem listens closely to the one who is a trua blast. We know that the trua is broken. It's da 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 da, which means that there are times that a person wants to learn, wants to do the right thing, but is motivated or pushed elsewhere. Time somehow is fleeting and it just moves away. And you're not able to do the things that you plan to do. Maybe you can't clean the kitchen right away. Maybe you need to do other things first. Okay, you'll get back to it. But you're basically a person is inconsistent. Some days it is clean, some days it's not so clean. Some days a person wants to give charity, some days maybe not. Some days a person wants to be, you know, engaging, and sometimes maybe not. It's all a mood swing. That's normal. That's human being. And that's what everyone is. We're all a trua blast. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I hear you and I'm listening. What else do you want to say? So for this, we say thank you. Baruch Ata Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Shomea kol truas am Yisrael berachamim. Hashem listens to the sound now of the trua blast as closely as he had listened to the sound of the one who is a shofar or a consistent blast. Hashem says, to err is human, to forgive is divine. And that's what Hashem is doing at this time of year. And only when Hashem gets off the Kisei Adin and sits back down on the Kisei Harachamim. And this is that's the reason why Yom Kippur, and that's why Sukkot are Zman Simchasenu, because we know that we at this very moment are all Bali Tshuva, every single one of us. There's not one in this room and there's no one outside of this room that is not a Baal Tshuva during the time of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Why not be a Baal Tshuva during Aseret Yemei Tshuva? And so Hashem is listening closely to us. What is it that we're trying to do? How are we able to convey? Maybe even during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, things didn't work out or pan out the way we wanted to be exactly perfect. It's understandable. But Hashem says, Bayom Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha, I forgive according to your words. That means that Hashem desires a relationship with you. Just like we began this conversation, Hashem desires a relationship with each of us. Vayomer Hashem, salachti, that would have been enough. No, kidvarecha, because you asked for it. You asked for forgiveness. And now we turn and we say, didan natzach, we have succeeded. How? We go out, we build a sukkah. A sukkah reminds us of the kanfei ashrina, the wings of the Shechina itself, the sanctity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was present to protect us from our enemies, which is the reason why we all go into the sukkah. And we're outdoors. We're exposed to the elements. Maybe not so much in Brooklyn, but for sure sometimes outside of Brooklyn, in wooded areas, you go out. I know that I used to spend more money to send my girls to Pioneers in Sternberg than I would, you know, to a camp or to a bunk that was closer to, a sink. They were out in the wilderness. They loved it. We go outside and we expose ourselves to the elements, and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are dependent on you. And that is what is so beautiful. We take the Arba Minim, which we will soon do, and just a brief thought about them. We know that the Shudra, the Lulav reminds us of the Shudra. The Shudra is translated as a spine. We know that the Esrog, the Citron, is reminiscent or looks akin to a heart. We know that the Hadasim are akin to eyelids. And we know that the Aravos, the Hadasim is the myrtle. And we know that the Aravos are akin to lips, our speech. And what do? We take all of them together. And this and when we look at the Esrog, we say, the Esrog has a beautiful smell, and it also has a beautiful taste. The taste and the smell are reminiscent of one, the taste of Torah, right? And the smell of mitzvos. So this is a person who is practicing Torah and mitzvos. And then we look at the Aravos on the flip side. It does not have any taste and it does not have any smell. And then the Lulav and the Hadasim, one has taste and smell, one has taste but no smell. And then the Hadasim have a taste but no have a smell but no taste. So we take them all together. And what does this mean? That for those that were able to take upon themselves the Mida of being a Baal Tshuva and succeed at it, great. That's the Esrog in our lives. For those that went through Aseres Yemei Tshuva and still feel that they are an Arava, that still feel that they are very, like the willow branch, which is the weakest of all, which is the one that is the most delicate, that the one that falls apart the fastest of all the Arba Minim, we preserve this one. We soak it in water. We replace it. We keep on nurturing it. We keep it wet. We keep it dry. We try to do our best to keep it as fresh looking as possible. What are we doing? We take what looks, appears to be the weakest link, and we elevate it together with the other three Arba Minim, and we shake them all as one. We don't separate one from the other. We take them all as one. Unity is present, and that is what makes Klal Yisrael flourish. So I did go over a little bit of time, but to close out, the reason why Sukkot is so beautiful and such a zman, simchasenu, a happy time, the most joyous time during the year, is to bring in good news for all of us. We all desperately need to hear good news coming out of Israel. We desperately want the fighting to stop. We desperately want all our captives and soldiers to come home safely. We desperately have so many wants, needs, desires. It's incredible. But one thing is positive, and one thing is unique, and one thing is constant. We have never been as unified as we have been during this past year. We continue to daven every single day, every single afternoon, every single night. Shir Amalos, Esayinai Elohorim, Me'ayin Yabo Ezri. We reach our eyes up to the mountains. We're HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only you can deliver success. Only you can deliver the Yeshua that we desire. Shir Amalos, we mamakim karsicha Hashem. Shir Amalos, we keep on from the depths. We call out, asking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what all Jewish people of all denominations are doing the same thing, sometimes in Mama Lashon and sometimes in their own speech. Vayom Hashem Salachti Kivarecha. May it be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will that this year HaKadosh Baruch Hu should recognize that the speech that we utter is a positive tikkun, a positive remediation for all prior shortcomings, and may we be blessed that this year and this beautiful Yontif should come upon the Jewish people in good stead. And we should all have everything. Yimal Hashem kol mishal sibeinu l'tova. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us with berachas ha-gefen, hatzlacha gezeirin panasa, and nachas.